League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, a hot mocker, Renault's growth, and GM's EV focus. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you the surprising number of battery factories now operating in Europe, and it might surprise you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. Today is Thursday, the 24th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every story so you don't have to. You can, if you want to, check out the Patreon page, a little daily mention for that. I always like to remind you that it's there, but there's absolutely no pressure. But you can, if you want to, have a look at patreon.com/EV News Daily. It's how I fund the podcast, and you get the podcasts ad-free as well. All right, let's kick off the podcast today with news of a hot mocker. Vauxhall, or Opel, as it may be where you're listening, has launched a high-powered version of the Mokka Electric with its new GSE performance line. Previewed by the Mokka GSE Rally prototype, that was back in May, this is the first all-electric performance car with the GSE badge. The Mokka GSE has a 276-horsepower electric motor that drives the front wheels, using a Torsen limited slip diff, accelerating 0 to 62, 5.9 seconds, it's rapid. The rear axle has an anti-roll bar and stiffer bushings, boosting rear torsional stiffness by almost 200% over the standard Mokka, which is a car that I think it's fair to say you wouldn't think is very sporty. But Vauxhall, or Opel, and that GSE badge over the years has done some interesting things with it. Other upgrades include heavier steering, some new front brake discs and four-piston calipers, and new dampers and hydraulic bump stops as well. Now, the car is an EV, so it's still going to be a chonky boy. It does weigh under 1,600 kilograms, though. It does come with 20-inch alloys with Michelin Pilot Sport EV tyres. Official range figures, well, they haven't been disclosed, but what do you reckon, around 200 miles or 320 Ks per charge? The regular Mokka, so the battery stays the same, 54 kilowatt hours. That'll do about 247 miles, 250 miles on WLTP. So these hotter versions sometimes do a bit less. And also, if you're inclined to drive it as it's been designed, you'll get a lot less out of the battery. Outside, the Mokka GSE has neon yellow accents and gloss black areas on the front and rear bumpers. Inside, Alcantara trim bucket seats, matching door cards, and an updated infotainment display with new functions like a G-force meter. Pricing and release date not yet confirmed. This does seem like they've engineered stuff differently, probably not a full-on re-engineering like, I would say, the Ioniq 5N and the Ioniq 6N. I mean, those vehicles are actually very much different from the other road-going ones that are out on the market. But this does seem spicy now. Renault Group's global sales are up, and you know the punchline to this story, but wait for it. Renault Group's global sales are up in the first half of 2025. Europe's passenger car market was up by 5.4%. Renault vehicles in Europe were up by 8.4%. Dacia was up, and Alpine was surging, but from a very low number. But why were all these Renault brands up? Like I say, you beat me to the punchline. Driven by battery electric vehicles. So at Renault, battery electric vehicles are now 16% of all sales. That's good. And Renault's been on a roll right now. They just lost their CEO. And that's a shame because he really set so many wheels in motion. I hope that continues. And Renault, from early days with the little Renault Zoe, I've had two Renault Zoes, both of them on battery lease. And I wouldn't do that again, by the way. Slight issues with Renault Financial Services, making some mistakes. However, it was all sorted in the end. And, early doors with Renault, good reputation for EVs. And they've just blown it out of the water. I mean, the little Renault 5. It's just looking nice. I followed an Alpine home the other day and thought, yeah, that's... I was from a distance. There's a Renault 5. And as I got closer, no, that's an Alpine styling. And holy bazookas. That's really, a really good-looking car. First one I'd seen in the wild, actually. The little Renault 5 is great. Renault expects more growth from the upcoming Renault 5 and the Renault 4. So in Dacia's lineup, the most models... we're down, but what saved Dacia? You beat me to the punchline. Despite all their combustion stuff being down, the new Spring electric mini car sold about 16,000 units in the first half of the year. I like that little Spring, but as we'll talk about more on the podcast this week, things are changing in the United Kingdom, and they're changing really quickly, and the government are to blame, and we'll get onto it later. If not today, then later. General Motors next in the news. GM reported their second quarter operating profits falling by $3 billion. That's a bad day at the office when you lose $3 billion down the back of the sofa. But they said that their commitment to electric vehicles is unwavering. CEO Mary Barra telling shareholders, and I quote, "Despite slower EV industry growth, we believe the long-term future is profitable electric vehicle production, and this continues to be our North Star," end quote. GM's EV sales more than doubled in the first half of this year compared to the first half of last year. Overall revenue was down by 1.8%. GM still beat the expectations from Wall Street. The outcome is linked to continued investment in domestic battery supply chains in North America, showing the company's focus on EVs. They didn't change their full-year forecast, even though there's possible exposure of up to $5 billion from these new US tariffs. In the last quarter alone, GM took on $1.1 billion of tariff-related costs. And so, I mean, at some point, they say that the tariffs are just being soaked up by the car makers, but at some point, the United States direction of travel, I'll say that, is bound to slow down the move to EV. It has to, doesn't it? The US has got some catching up to do at some point in the future. No doubt, everywhere will be pure EV. It's just the speed at which everyone goes, isn't it? We're watching it all play out in real time. GM's growth continues despite some weak results in the automotive sector, thanks to a strong vehicle lineup they have, large-scale manufacturing. They're making their batteries in-house and using local supply chains to ensure lasting EV profits. Stakeholders are watching GM's move toward their electric-first strategy, relying on their ability to grow the EV market, but also deal with tariffs, cost challenges. It's really difficult for these companies. GM's also developing some new types of batteries as well. They're called lithium manganese rich, LMR. I've mentioned this before. Let me give you an update. They're developing them in the United States to create cheaper EVs that could be more cost effective than the current cheapest technology out there, which is called lithium iron phosphate, LFP. It's in the majority, like 8 out of 10 Chinese EVs, because a lot of the Chinese EVs are a bit cheaper. And the technology is largely, in terms of the IP for LFP, in terms of the knowledge, so like the intellectual property, a lot of it developed and owned in China. So General Motors says that their batteries, the LMR batteries, use less nickel and cobalt in the pack. With less nickel and cobalt in big truck batteries, LMR could save even more money than LFP, said GM's CEO Mary Barra on their earnings call this week. LMR batteries use more manganese rather than nickel and cobalt, which are expensive. GM notes manganese costs less to mine and process, and its supply chain can be managed in the United States without China. Ford is also working on LMR batteries. GM had thought LMR would save as much as LFP, the other technology. That's pretty much reliant wholly on China, so I'm not surprised that they are looking at LMR technology, developing that with their partner LG, and that could sort of wean the battery industry off LFP batteries. This is the work of a moment and it won't happen overnight, but if you look on the time frame of years, then this is really promising, certainly for the US companies that have to try and unstitch everything they've got with China because of the current political direction. And that, of course, means that China will want as many customers outside of the US to sell their LFP technology to, which is probably good for the rest of the world. But we'll wait and see. We'll watch that one. Now, Cadillac's Lyriq and Optiq EVs are attracting more what they call conquest customers. Let me explain. Cadillac's EVs, the Lyriq and the Optiq, are drawing many buyers from other brands. On the earnings call, they said that those two vehicles have a what they call a conquest rate of 75% for the Lyriq and 80% for the Optiq. That means nearly everyone who's buying these vehicles has not previously owned a Cadillac. So far this year, they've delivered almost 10,000 Lyriqs and 5,000 Optiqs. And so that's a lot of people coming into the Cadillac brand that haven't before. They're selling well, partly because of steady, appealing prices. Both get the full federal tax credit now until the end of September. National lease offers are very good as well. GM says these models will be less competitive without the EV tax credit. And the company also notes that their EVs could have higher sales in coastal markets, leaving room for growth in those areas, which they think is untapped potential. New York is next in the news. Governor Kathy Hochul has announced $200 million in new funding to help switch school buses to go zero emission. This is really important. We're seeing more and more conversions as well to electric, so that's a very green way of doing it. Don't throw out an old vehicle. Have the vehicle, which has still got years of life left in it, except we're running it on electric power. And, of course, because school buses don't tend to be working during the day unless they're doing school trips and stuff like that. But school buses tend not to work in the day. And that is where, again, depending on where you live, but if you've got a lot of solar on the grid or depending on where you are, school buses not moving in the day can do a lot of really interesting things with balancing the grid, trading the energy in their battery, selling it, buying it, charging, and all that kind of stuff. So there's so many opportunities with school buses. And yet I still see it's a bit like the US Postal Service that's, you know, the new political direction in the US is trying to dismantle their move to EV. It just seems like a really weird thing. Like, should we have great vehicles for the women and men that deliver our post? No, let's have really old, terrible ones. I don't understand it personally. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Lucid's Air getting better, Slate Auto growing, and some new fast charging to tell you about. We'll take a quick break. And I'll be back in a moment. Stick around.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So welcome back to the podcast. All right, let's get on with it then. And let's talk a little bit about EV owners profiting from integrating with the grid. So there's a company that's created by BMW, Honda, Ford, and Nissan. They're called ChargeScape. And they're teaming up in Long Island to sign up electric vehicles for what's called a peak load reduction program. This is the first time in the program's 9-year history that EVs are being involved. The goal is to reduce stress on the grid during the summer. They use AI-based software because, you know, everything is AI-based these days, which manages EV charging in real time. Loads of these things are being done around the world. Long Island's now doing it. The program will add over 4,000 BMWs, 2,000 more Fords as well, to manage the grid. Their software uses live grid data from Long Island to set the best charging times for every EV. The total electricity used by EVs won't go over the grid's capacity at any time. Keeps the grid steady. It's a really good idea. I do exactly the same thing here with Octopus. Good news there. Right, the Lucid Air lineup for next year, the 2026 model year, gets better. The Lucid Air lineup adds more range and more standard features and a new adapter. That would be CCS to J3400, which lets Lucid Air drivers use Tesla's supercharging network. It's not switched on yet. Got to wait till July 31st. Charging speeds with the adapter are not great. Now, this is just a legacy issue with the Lucid Air and the supercharger network because of voltage differences. Even with the adapter, you can only charge at 50 kilowatts. In, you know, unless it's a V4. So a Tesla V4 supercharger that is properly high voltage and, you know, not just rolling out new dispensers, it's not going to charge a Lucid Air very quickly. But, you know, any port in the storm and all that kind of stuff, if you desperately need a charge, you'll take 50 kilowatts, right? All 2026 Air models now come with the Lucid mobile charging cable kit to charge from a 240-volt outlet at 9.6 kilowatts or a 120-volt at 1.4. Every model has an upgraded air conditioning compressor, boosting cooling and making the cabin quieter. The touring trim gets a higher-density battery, raising the EPA range by 6%. EPA is now 431 miles on that trim. Pure trims with the comfort and convenience package now have rear center console displays and extra storage. The grand touring models get front seats that'll do 20-way adjustment and heating and ventilation and massage as well. Some trims have new prices as well. They're all up by a smidge, I would say. Hey, by the way, the top trim, the Sapphire trim, hasn't changed. It's still a mere $250,000. It's almost in the territory of if you have to ask the price. You can't afford one. All right, next up, let's update you on the little Slate truck that's coming. Slate Auto, newly emerged from stealth mode, now has 250 employees at its headquarters in Troy, Michigan. The company's hiring for 90 more jobs as it gets ready to start manufacturing in Indiana. The CEO, Chris Barman, plans to buy another office building and open a second manufacturing facility in the future. Backed by $700 million with funding, including those like Jeff Bezos, Slate gained a lot of attention after revealing its electric truck in April for being a $20,000 truck. At that time, the federal tax credit was still around. That, of course, will not be available anymore. The CEO commenting on recent cuts to consumer EV and battery tax credits saying, "It's something that we would love to be in place so that our car is even more affordable. That was never part of our plan." I would need to check the quote on that because that's the quote that I've seen. She definitely did say, you know, we have a truck starting at around $20,000. That was very, very much part of the Slate plan. So to say now it was never part of our plan, well, you advertised the price with the $7,500 off, didn't you, Slate? So I'd need to go double check on all the things there that are being said, but I'm not sure about that. They did go really big on, it's a $20,000 truck after you take off the tax credit. And which we all knew wouldn't be around. So was it disingenuous? Were they just hoping that it would still be around? Who knows? We would be speculating. Now, Tritium, the DC fast charging company, announced that a major UK DC charging operator called EV will be the first to use their new Triflex charging platform. EV runs 160 locations and manages 600 DC fast chargers in the United Kingdom. Now they will install Tritium's Triflex system. That delivers charging speeds at 400 kilowatts. Holy bazookas. Lets operators expand from 4 to 64 charging points, up to 8 times more than conventional distributed charging platforms. Tritium also launched an industry-first lifetime warranty on their power modules for its full product range, including the next-gen modules for Triflex. Tritium says this warranty removes a major long-term cost for operators and reflects the Tritium confidence in their power electronics. Right, let's talk a little bit about Chinese-built EVs facing exclusion from the UK. This is a really, really interesting story. Probably only for my listeners in the United Kingdom. But the UK launched their new car grant, EV car grant, giving 3,750 quid off a new EV. That's about 5,000 US. To get the grant, the car makers have to apply to the UK government. So there's a couple of rules which are non-negotiables. Well, they're all non-negotiable, but the ones that we understand. £37,000 or less. That's about 40,000, 47,000 US. So, okay, so we're talking family cars, affordable cars. So it must be less than that to get the grant. It must be zero emissions. Yep. But it must also meet strict science-based criteria on emissions of production. So to get to you, and that's really good. I'm glad our Labour government have done that. Cars made in places with fossil fuel-based electricity would get a lower environmental score and therefore not get the grant. Chinese brands won't receive the full grant, say many of the experts wading in on this. To stay competitive, though, so many companies have come out in the last few days and are offering their own £3,750 off their vehicles. Some of them are the Chinese. Great Wall Motor are the latest to come out. I mentioned yesterday the Aura 03 models available now. MG are offering it on their MG4 and MG5 vehicles. Leap Motor was the first one I told you about to offer UK-specific discounts with up to £3,750 off the T3 and the C10. I've got more to add to tomorrow's podcast as well. And so what's happened here? Let me fill you in. The UK government said the grant is coming back. We'll give you money off the cars. That's great. It's almost £4,000. Brucey bonus. However, if I was about to buy a car or about to do a lease agreement or about to do a finance agreement, and then the government go, well, you get £4,000 off. Of course, I'm not going to buy that car now. And so I think what's happened from talking to people in the industry and from looking at the trade sources that I have, I think what's happened is that no one's buying cars at the moment. I mean, obviously some people are, but I think it's really, because the UK government said, it's coming back and we'll give you more details in the future. I think everyone went, oh, amazing, I'll just wait then. And I think so many of the car companies have gone, hang on a minute, our order books have taken a massive hit in the last week. And so some of them that know they won't get it, like Leap Motor, Great Wall Motor, MG, are doing their own. And I think what we're going to see is all the other car makers are going to have to just give the money off their cars now or just not sell any cars until the actual government scheme comes online. Is that a cock up? I mean, I can't think of any other way to do it. Because you need to tell people it's coming and then say to the car, the OEMs, the vehicle producers, right, this is on the way. How do you do that to them without this news leaking out? You've just got to try and have the smallest possible amount of time between saying it's coming back and it actually starting. Or could it be applied retrospectively? But I think it's probably killed a lot of sales. And so even though the government money won't be coming off cars immediately, I think a lot of car companies are just going to have to reduce their prices and take the hit themselves just to sell some motors. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm guessing. We'll wait and see. Hey, staying in the UK, very quickly, used EV prices have dropped, falling 31% over the last year, according to new data. The AA's used car index says that almost every major electric model saw double-digit price drops in the second quarter of 2025. The biggest one was the Lexus RX. That's a hybrid, losing 31% of its value in a year. Little Renault Zoes are losing value. The Leaf is losing value quite quickly as well. However, the most popular electric cars have not declined very much at all. So it's not across the whole board. It's certain models are losing double-digit deflation. These numbers reflect a fast-growing market for used electric vehicles. And the reason? Ex-lease. It's what's happening. So many ex-fleet vehicles are hitting the market this year. Falling prices are making cars that were once too expensive, like Tesla Model 3. Let me pick that example. So Model 3, on average, has lost £4,500. That's about $5,500 in the last year. So used EV prices for some models have gone down, making them more affordable. I've told you recently about my little window shopping that I've been doing. Not that I can afford one, but for a Porsche Taycan or a Mercedes-Benz EQS or EQE, frightening prices in terms of like how low they are. And again, that's just because the UK is incredibly heavy in terms of the mix of EV sales to fleets. We have a very, in comparison to most markets, we have a very, very small EV retail sector. Most EVs in this country go to fleets, whether that is salary sacrifice, whether it's leasing companies, finance companies. The mix is really heavily shifted towards those kind of agreements. And so it doesn't mean that cars don't drip feed back into the market. You're not hanging on to your vehicle for 5, 8, 10 years. They're all going through finance agreements for 2, 3, 4 years. And so it's turning over EVs really quickly and hitting depreciation. All right, let's talk about Europe boosting its local lithium-ion battery production. This is a really positive story to end on. New Automotive has been doing some reporting recently saying that 30 battery gigafactories are now running across the continent. Together, these sites provide more than 300 gigawatt hours of batteries every year, enough to supply around 3.75 million electric passenger cars based on an average capacity of 80 kilowatt hours. The Envision AESC factory, gigafactory in France, just started operations last month. They produce 9 gigawatt hours of batteries yearly, meeting the supply for Renault. New battery plants are on the way. Construction began last year on a China Aviation Lithium Battery Group site in Portugal. Tata Group and their Agratas EV battery factory is down in the southwest. That should be ready next year to start supplying Jaguar Land Rover. And the European Union's Net Zero Industry Act is setting a goal for 90% of battery demand, mainly for electric vehicles, to come from domestic sources by 2030. And that's on the way. Europe knows it's far behind China in terms of battery production and capacity, but by 2030, total battery gigafactory capacity in Europe, including non-EU countries like here, will reach 435 gigawatt hours. That's up 45% on today in just 4 years' time. A couple of things that I think we could probably draw into that. Firstly, good news for Europe, local domestic supply chain. That's good for battery supply chain resilience and things like that. But China also has an overcapacity problem, both for batteries and for EVs. So they've built more capacity than is currently being used, and there's going to be, well, there is a race to the bottom on pricing. So that drives down prices. That should spur innovation to make better technology. And also, what does that mean in terms of competition? Which, again, is why the EU is looking at China prices, because they're just going to do whatever they can to sell at a very low price. And so, hey, could be good news for you and I, the consumer, but the people that have to worry about bigger things. That's certainly a massive concern, isn't it? Right, that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.